And I thought, my goodness, somebody's written a song about me. Isn't the Lord good? Yes, He is. Thank you, Jack, and thank you, choir, and instrumentalists. Thank you, church family. And thank you for being here today. I want to tell you how much I appreciate the good comments I have heard from last week. When George Miller preached for us, George is a dear friend of mine and a wonderful preacher and a dear brother. And thank you for how you made him feel comfortable and welcome. And he was bragging on the music, bragging on the fellowship, and just made me proud, so proud to know that that's just who you are. And I thank you for being such a gracious, gracious people. And in fact, one precious lady said, he was so good, if we had already called Brother Jackie, we'd call him. Thank you, Betty.
No names, just...
Oh, I love that girl. I love her. Oh, me. This morning, it really was no coincidence that as I slipped into the Sunday school class for a while, Sandy, thank you for the wonderful job you did.
Amen.
The message, the lesson was on the coming of our Lord. And then we come in here and the choir talks about the coming of the Lord. And the message this morning is on the coming of the Lord. I didn't know what the Sunday school lesson was about and didn't know what the choir was singing. But when I introduced that theme, I'm not sure what goes through your mind immediately. Because so many times when we think about this great theme of the return of Christ, we wonder exactly how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen and what are the events, what are the order of events to take place. But I really want to talk to you this morning for a little while, not about a sequence of events, not about a timetable, not about trying to read ahead as to when it could be. By the way, I will tell you this, that in my own heart, I wonder how can the coming of the Lord be much longer. We've never lived in a day like we're living in now, and I guess every generation can say that, but when I see what's happening across the globe, I think, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you, when you really understand what the coming of our Lord is all about, you realize it's nothing for the child of God to be worried about. In fact, we ought to be praising the Lord because it's going to be like Christmas and the 4th of July and our birthdays all rolled into one and even better than that. But not everybody's gotten a hold of that great truth. Years ago, I was preaching a revival at the Liberty Grove Baptist Church just north of Lexington, Alabama, just south of Loretta, Tennessee. And I got there a little bit early that evening. It was on a Sunday evening to preach. And one of the deacons drove up on his way. No, it must have been like a weeknight because he came in from work. It was probably a Monday night, I guess. And I was parked under the shade of a big tree just waiting for church to start in a little while, looking over my scripture and my thoughts. And one of the deacons pulled up, Jack, and he said, Brother Jack, you here early? And I said, yeah, I came to get my heart just kind of ready for the service. And he said so caringly, Brother Jackie, have you had supper yet? I've always looked a little bit peaked and puny, and so he was concerned about my nourishment. And I said, no, not yet. And he said, why don't you come on home with me, have supper. My wife and I would love to have you for supper tonight. I said, my brother, I couldn't do that. Your wife's not expecting company. And he said with a smile, and you ladies are not going to be surprised by this, he said, she's always ready for company. You'd be more than welcome. You just come on. Well, I took him at his word. And I drove just a 2 or 3 blocks down the road, and I remember he walked into the garage because it must have led to the kitchen, and I know what he was doing. He was warning her. And he said, "Honey, I'm home." And there was no response. A little bit of a worried look crept across his face, and so he stepped into the doorway, into the kitchen. She must be in the back of the house. And he said again, "Honey, I'm home." And then he added, "And I brought the preacher home with me for supper." There was a momentary pause, and melodiously from the back of the house came her response. She did not know I was standing next to him. "I could just kill you." Ladies, you ever had moments like that? Well, when he thought she was prepared for company, she wasn't ready at all. And I have an idea that when it comes to talking about being ready for the Lord to come and praying with John on the Isle of Patmos when he saw that glorious vision of the heavenly city of God, John was overwhelmed and said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." And my prayer is that if in your heart you're not sure that you're sure that you're sure, if you don't know that you know that you know, if you're not ready for the Lord to come, if you can't say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, because I'm as right as I know how to be," that you'll make those decisions that need to be made today. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, the same passage that our Sunday school lesson was on this morning, there's a wonderful parable that Jesus told. And then he went ahead and made that application of it. He talked about a trumpet sounding. He talked about God gathering his elect from the four winds of the earth in verse 31. In verse 33, Jesus said, "So likewise ye, when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." Verily in verse 34 of Matthew 24, "I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all things shall be fulfilled." Now that passage may trouble some, but let me tell you what I believe Jesus is saying. Not that he was going to return in the generation of those that were hearing him physically, but there will come a generation where everything that was prophesied will come together at one time in one place, and everything will fall into the pieces of prophecy that were foretold in the days past. In verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the days of the coming of the Son of Man be." Now notice, please, verse 38 and following. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it also be. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall there be two in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch or hour the thief would come, he would have watched or had been alert, would not have suffered or permitted his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Titus chapter 2 and verse 8 talks about the wonderful opportunity the child of God has and the command that we have to look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just a couple of Sundays ago, we preached from Acts chapter 1 and the following verses where the angel, where Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after the resurrection. And the angel stood there and said to them, "Why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The blessed hope. If there was anything that riveted the early church together, was the belief in the resurrection and the promise of the blessed hope and the soon coming of the lovely Lord Jesus. And I know we could spend a lot of time on prophetic signs and symbols, and there's a place and a time for that, and God's given us a lot of signs of things that are yet to come. But I want to share with you what I really have chosen to call heaven's family reunion for just a moment. When I was growing up, and we had family places other than Lacey Springs too, I mean, they were spread out in Decatur and Huntsville and other places, Birmingham. We gathered together. Didn't you ever have family reunions when you were growing up? Oh, yeah, wonderful. I remember ours was held at an open-air camp meeting in Hartsville, Alabama. And our cousins and aunts and uncles and our grandparents were there and friends were there. And it was a marvelous time. And one of the things about the family reunion that I remember vividly was not only the meal, not only the fellowship, all the tables that were spread with food and the great time we had, but I remember that they gathered us all in a big game room and showed 16, it might have been 8mm films. You know, the ones that kind of scratch and jump in, and they're black and white, and there I was, a little bitty boy with a crew cut. I was a little chubby boy. You wouldn't have recognized me. And then there were my cousins, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. But you know, we don't have those family reunions anymore. And the reason being is because so many of those have gone on to be with the Lord. But when my heart becomes sad when I think about the fact that we won't have them like that anymore, then the Lord reminds me, Jackie, you haven't seen anything yet. You hadn't been to your last family reunion. There's a family reunion for the children of God coming that will eclipse all others that we could ever have experienced or could describe. Heaven's family reunion is a time for several things, and just for a moment, I want us to think about these things together. I hope that the Lord will use them to be a blessing to you. First of all, heaven's family reunion is a time of great and glorious anticipation, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the lovely Lord Jesus. Watch, for you know not the hour, and you know not the day. The wonderful admonition of Scripture is that there's coming the greatest event on God's calendar that has happened since the resurrection and the ascension. That is, one day, listen carefully, church, the Lord Jesus, with the sound of the trumpet and the angels declaring His coming, and the shout of God across the heaven, is going to return bodily. He's going to return visibly. He's going to return gloriously. He's going to return literally. And He's going to come triumphant as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to call His children home and call us out of this old world. It's going to be a time of glorious anticipation, marvelous celebration, which we'll get to in just a moment. But the anticipation. I remember when I was growing up, there might be coming up an event, for example, like the Christmas parade in downtown Huntsville or some other event that we always look forward to going to. And my parents wouldn't tell us about it till almost time, because you tell a child about something coming up, they won't leave you alone. I mean, Daddy, we're most about there. And we get caught up. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in Scripture, Jesus says, I can't tell you when I'm coming, because you might be riveted on that instead of serving me. But I want to tell you, I'm coming, child of God. Don't get discouraged. Don't get disheartened. Don't think God is late. Don't think God's forgotten. God in His timing is going to come. It's going to be a surprise, because we won't be expecting Him at that moment. But it's going to be a time of great and glorious anticipation called the blessed hope. Now, the hope that's spoken of in Scripture is not a maybe-so, think-so, hope-so. No, it is a confident assurance that what Jesus has said He will do, He will do. So you mark it down, child of God. Jesus is on His way We don't know, but I believe old Gabriel is tuning up the trumpet. And I believe it won't be long before the trumpet sounds and the children of God will be called out of this old world. It's a time of great and glorious celebration, anticipation and glorious celebration. Every once in a while, we'll just have church showing up. And forgive me, normally I'm quiet and I'm kind of reserved in some ways, but sometimes I just get blessed all over. I just can't hardly stand still. I just want to get happy, and sometimes I want to raise my hands, and every once in a while I just feel like shouting because God's just so good. And I've been in services like that. I've been in churches like that. This happened here when I've been so blessed. But folks, you're talking about a celebration time. When we see our loved ones again and they're not sick anymore and they're not suffering anymore and the family is gathered together around the throne room of heaven and there's the Jesus on the throne and the Father and the sweet Holy Spirit. And the truth is, we're going to celebrate like we've never celebrated before. By the way, I believe the Lord's going to take away some of the restraints we Baptists have. You know, I just believe down deep inside of me, down deep inside, is just a little bit of Pentecostal. Now, Libby can tell you, I'm not a dancer. You say, well, where's that coming from? Well, I wasn't. I have got to tell you this little story. Libby got an Alexa for Christmas. Y'all know what that is? That's an amazing, amazing device. And one night, I just said, Alexa, what was it I told her to play, Libby? No. The one you like.
Floyd Kramer's Last
Day. I know it can. I wish I thought about it. I had you play it, Bobby. But man, what a song. And I just said, come here, honey. And I said, let's dance. Wish I took her to my high school prom. I couldn't dance then either. But we started dancing. And Libby's got a way of really, really building up the moment. And I had my arms around her and we were dancing in the kitchen to Floyd Kramer. Yeah. And she said, would you quit breathing in my ear? Ain't nothing romantic like that. We're going to celebrate. You talk about being happy in Jesus. I mean, to see the Lamb of God, to see the saints of God, to see the city of gold, to be taken out of this old world just before God gets through refurbishing it. Folks, this is going to be a time of great and glorious celebration. So don't get discouraged. Don't let this old world get you down. A better world's on the way. Heaven's family reunion's a time of great celebration and anticipation. It's a time of great revelation. Revelation in that this world will see that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee shall one day bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I can't imagine what this world is going to feel, what this world is going to think about when the trumpet of God sounds and the shout of God echoes across the heavens and sweet Jesus comes. And with those of us who are saved, we know what's happening. It'll be a revelation, but we'll know and we'll celebrate and have a celebration sure enough with the world. Be marked by fear. They won't understand what's going on. Time of eternal revelation for the Lord Himself. In fact, the angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come as you have seen Him go in like manner. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. It's a time of eternal revelation. The world will know Jesus is Lord. It's also a time of grievous separation. You see, the one thing about the coming of our Lord that is so sad is not everybody will be caught up. The word caught up is, we call it the word rapture. It's for the saints of God, the believers in Christ. And the Bible talks about the two women being in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two will be at the meal, one will be taken, one will be left. And left behind will be those who didn't have time for Jesus. Those who didn't have time to give their hearts and lives to Christ. Those who continued to make excuses. Those who delayed. Those who believed that this thing called Christianity wasn't real and Jesus wasn't real. Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing more real, nothing more real than the resurrected Christ coming after the saints of God one day. It's a time of eternal revelation and grievous separation. The saddest thing in the world is not one of the saddest things, of course, is when you stand at the graveside of a loved one and say goodbye. We've all done that far too many times. But thank God we'll see those that are saved, see them again, and they'll be well, and we'll be with them together forever and ever. The tragedy is, of the coming of our Lord, there will be a final separation. When those who did not know Christ will have had their last opportunity to say yes to Jesus. That's why he said, therefore be ye ready. It's a time, finally, for immediate preparation. Therefore, be ye ready. A lot of things in life, and sometimes we're procrastinators. And that's all right, I guess, to a point. But if there's one thing we must not procrastinate about, is being right with God. Knowing, first of all, that you've given your heart to Jesus. Knowing that you've turned from sin and by faith received Him. And you know, it's an amazing thing. Salvation is so amazing. We can't comprehend or fathom this reality in all of its depth. But it's so simple, even a child can receive it. When we repent of sin and by faith receive Christ. When that happens, He washes away all of our sin and comes to dwell within our hearts. The Holy Spirit lives within us. That's why we can say with John on the Isle of Patmos, if we've been saved, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I wonder this morning if that would be the deep desire and prayer of your heart. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the family reunions that we've enjoyed. But oh, there's coming a family reunion that will eclipse all the others. God wants you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. We want you to be a part of it. And you can by giving your heart and life to Jesus. And if you're saved, is there any area of your life the Lord wants to make an adjustment in? Anything the Lord wants to do in your life to deepen your walk and strengthen your faith? Whatever that may be. Why don't you just tell Him today, Lord, I just want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to resurrender my life to your loving Lordship. I want to be as ready for Jesus to come as I possibly can be. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Let's pray together.